tonight I got inspired to talk about something that I got inspired this weekend about. The thought is, what is man? That verse is comparing man with the heavenlies. It's in Psalm 8. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? I was around a lot of people this weekend that think they're something. So, I got inspired to show us tonight what man is. And I've come to the conclusion of one thing. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 1. It just really makes me sad when I see people who are doing so many things to try and be good. And they think they have to be good. That's the sad part. Genesis 1 verse 26 and 27. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Now, there's people who walk around that will tell you we are in God's image. And I come to the conclusion they think they need to be, so that they think there's a little bit of good in them. Turn to Genesis 5, verse 3. Granted, Adam and Eve were created in God's image. They were, but something changed. Actually, let's do something. Go to Genesis 3 instead. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave it also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Now think about what fig leaves are. You ever see any, feel any? I've never seen them, but I hear they're very itchy. And they only last barely a day. They wilt and wither so bad. So imagine them making a dress out of that stuff. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard that voice, thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? Makes one wonder why God even asked him. He knew it. And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat. What a sucker. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is it that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Adam was a wuss. Had to blame it on the woman. Now turn to Genesis 5. And I want to show you something changed. Verse 3. And Adam lived 130 years old, and begat a son in his own likeness, after his image, and called his name Seth. It's a little bit different. Let's turn to Philippians 2:7. If we are in God's image, this verse is going to cause a problem. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 7. Let's start at 5. I'll wait till the pages quit rattling. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of who? Of men. So something changed. Turn to Romans chapter 5. I have a man in this community that clears up and down every time that gets on the subject that we're made in God's image. Nope. I don't know if they feel that way because they feel they have to have some good, and if they are in God's image and they think they may be just a tiny bit good. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Now we're starting into what is man. And the Bible lays it out very, very plain, and I want to try and take this through the several different dispensations and show it to you that man never changed. Okay, chapter 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Turn over to chapter 6. Mm-hmm. Chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay, we've seen all men are sin, and now the wages of that is death. Okay, 1 Corinthians 15. I just want to lay a little bit of a foundation. Well, it's just all kind of the same. But I'm just going to go through the Bible and show you what we are. And it ain't a pretty sight. Verse 21. 15:21. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. The wages of sin is death, so in Adam all die. Okay, let's go back to the Old Testament. Genesis chapter 6. I was watching football and studying Bible study at the same time, so I might get some football language involved. I got to keep myself occupied two ways. Genesis 6, verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Here's another key verse for people who say we need to repent, thinking, using the word as confession. It's not. Repenting is changing your mind. And I think every saved person repents of things. They change their mind about things. I did. I changed my mind greatly. Okay, go to chapter 8. Verse 21. The Bible talks a lot about the imagination of the heart. And, you know, I know how it is when I'm thinking about something and something goes a little weird and I let my imaginations run. Whew. You can come up with all kinds of weird stuff. 21, and the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. Okay, let's go to Jeremiah. If I can find it. Okay, Jeremiah chapter 3. The root word of imaginations is imagine. Verse 7. It's image? It would be image, wouldn't it? Imagination. Imagine. Yeah. Okay. Jeremiah chapter 3. Verse 17. Now remember, we're trying to just lay out what we are. And at that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all the nations shall be gathered unto it to the name of the Lord to Jerusalem, neither shall they walk in it, neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart. That was verse 17 in chapter 3. There he even clarifies it as the evil heart. Turn to Jeremiah 7.
And this is talking about when he comes back.
Basically, what I'm going through these verses here for is to show us what our man is. Just pointing out the evil imaginations of the heart and things like that. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 24. You know, this is kind of how people are today when you give them the gospel. But they hearken not, nor incline their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of the evil heart, and went backward and not forward. There's so many people doing that today. They have the truth right in front of them. So simply put, easy enough for a child to understand, but they don't. What? That's what we heard this weekend, wasn't it? Easy enough for a child to understand. Jeremiah chapter 9. Verse 14. But have walked after the imagination of their own heart, and after Balaam, which their fathers taught them. Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will feed them, even this people, with wormwood, and give them water of gall to drink. Think about it. As their father taught them. How much of what you do in think is because of what your dad taught you? I mean, if you stop and think about a lot of the things you do, either your parent or somebody close to you did it. And you know, you hear these people say, well, we always did it this way. It's called the traditions of men. It's very, very dangerous. Jeremiah chapter 11. Verse 8. Yet they obeyed not, nor inclined their ear, but walked every one in the imagination of the evil heart. Therefore I will bring upon them all the words of this covenant, which I commanded them to do, but they did them not. There again, the imagination of the evil heart. They just simply walk away from truth, follow their stupid evil heart. Jeremiah 13. Jeremiah is loaded with this. I couldn't believe when I started looking. He over and over and over talked about the imagination of the heart. 13 verse 10. This evil people, which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imagination of their heart, and walk after other gods to serve them and to worship them, shall even be as this girdle, which is good for nothing. Just it is just so much like people today. They don't hear the words. They insist on doing what they've always been taught. Jeremiah chapter 16. Here he's even telling them that they did worse than their fathers. And ye have done worse than your fathers. And for verse 12, Jeremiah 16, 12, sorry. And ye have done worse than your fathers, for behold, ye walk every one after the imagination of his evil heart, that they may not hearken unto me.
His evil heart, would that be the fathers?
No, it's personal.
Yeah.
It's saying, after the imagination of his evil heart.
Everyone
after the imagine is his evil heart. Yeah. Everyone, and then it brings it personal with the word his. Jeremiah 18. Verse 12. And they said, there is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will everyone do the imagination of his evil heart. Verse 2. No, why do I have verse 2 there? I have no idea. Probably 20-something. That must have been a touchdown right at that time.
2-point touchdown.
That's a safety. Okay. Let's go to chapter 17. We all know this verse. Oh, yeah. It's coming. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Okay. John chapter 13. Verse 2. Here's an example of a man with a bad heart. And supper being ended, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Just an example of what he's saying here. It actually happened in the New Testament also. Let's go back to 1 Samuel. Chapter 13. You know, every time somebody tells me that we need to give your heart to Jesus, I think of Jeremiah 17, verse 9. I'm like, there is no way he wants that thing. Jeremiah 13, verse 14. First Samuel. Oh, I did say Jeremiah. I'm stuck on Jeremiah. 1 Samuel 13:14. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. Who was he talking about, a man after his heart? King David. And what's the list of everything David did that was wrong? He got a man killed so he could have the guy's wife. He had basically murdered the man. Then he committed adultery with a woman. Then he counted the people once when he wasn't supposed to. And I thought that was very interesting, that even David, a man after God's own heart, did dumb stuff, evil stuff. You guys any good yet?
I was up until 2 years ago.
Oh, there you go. Leviticus 16. The interesting thing about the fact that this is what men are, or in this dispensation the men were, people were, is God had a remedy in every dispensation for it. Now, Leviticus 16, verse 1 through 7. This is an example of what God provided for to take care of this huge problem. And thank God I didn't live back then. And the Lord spake unto Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered before the Lord and died. And the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto Aaron thy brother, that he come not at all times into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die not, for I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. Thus shall Aaron come into the holy place with a young bullock for a sin offering, and a ram for a burnt offering. He shall put on the holy linen coat, and he shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh, and shall be girded with a linen girdle, and with a linen whatever, mitre, shall he be attired. These are holy garments, therefore shall he wash his flesh in water, and so put them on. And he shall take of the congregation of the children of Israel 2 kids of the goats for a sin offering, and 1 ram for a burnt offering. And Aaron shall offer his bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make an atonement for himself and for his house. And he shall take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Well, this is how, in this time era, that they had to take care of their evil heart issues, because they all did dumb stuff. Okay. They did human stuff, is right. Now, let's go on into the New Testament, or the very last part of the Old Testament, to Luke chapter 2. We're going to kind of jump into a different... Sometimes when there's so much you could do, it's so hard for me just to pull it together, and this is where I went with it. Go to Luke chapter 2, verse 8. We all know this one. We probably all memorize this one. We probably all said it in a Christmas program sometime. But this is the beginning of another solution. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This is the beginning of the next solution. In that time period, the guys were still doing sacrifices. And honey, where was that verse that I quoted you today in Matthew? The gift of Moses. Does anybody know where the verse is for the gift of Moses? Just so that we're not mistaken here. I didn't. I'll find it here quick. Mm-hmm. Do what?
Sitting in Moses' seat.
Yeah, I think it's that verse.
It's verse 12.
Matthew 12. I don't know why I didn't write it down. Nah. Is it Moses' seat? Because it's not giving the gift to Moses. Okay, Matthew. No, it's in Matthew somewhere. The one that I was looking for. Let me see if I can find it. Oh, here it is. Matthew 8. This is why it's important to underline stuff in your Bible, because you can get a visual of it. Matthew 8, verse 4. And Jesus saith unto him, See thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priests, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. So what did Moses command them to do? Offer sacrifices, blood sacrifices. So this is still happening in Matthew. Okay. Let's go to Matthew chapter 3. Remember, Luke 2, he gave the son. Now I want to give you a couple of verses that verify that it was him. Matthew chapter 3, verse 17. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, okay, well, I need to read more than that. Verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Verifying that Christ was the Son of God. Turn to Matthew 16, which is the Gospel of God. Verse 13. 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, and or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Okay, go back to Matthew chapter 3. I didn't spend enough of time to figure this out, and didn't feel right dividing the two. We've seen the example in Matthew 8 where they were still sacrificing. Okay? Here in Matthew 4, verse 11, it says, Matthew 3, sorry. Chapter 4 is to my right, which will make 3 to my left. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So John the Baptist is preaching repentance through water baptism, and Peter also did that in Acts 3, is it? Turn to Acts 3, verse 19. No, this is John the Baptist here. Because John the Baptist then later baptized Jesus. Read verse 13 and 14. Yeah. It's talking about John the Baptist. See, what I did is I read something then backed up again. We are going to Acts chapter 3. Did you get it, Sita? Okay, before we leave, Sita, let's read further than that. Let's go back to Matthew 3. Look in verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This whole chapter is John the Baptist speaking. He comes to verse 11. He said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. And then he's talking about Jesus, who's going to baptize them with the Holy Ghost and with fire. This is John the Baptist speaking in this chapter. Is it clear now?
Yeah, but I was thinking he was talking about Peter baptizing with the Holy Ghost and with fire.
No, because then down in verse 14, 15, and 16, he went and baptized Jesus. Okay. Let's go back. This is where Peter's talking. I didn't get to Acts 3 yet. Let's go to Acts 3, verse 19. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, and when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Okay, and then Mark, I'm going to go out on a limb because I'm not sure I didn't check this one. This is Jesus talking, actually, right? In Mark 16. Yeah. Jesus is telling them, He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. So baptism at this point, see, I'm not sure where the sacrifices quit. But you're seeing some of the baptism. I don't know how to separate the two. I'd have to study into that, and I'm not going to say anything I don't know. But I do know this is what the Bible says in these points. I kind of got a little bit ahead of myself. Let's go back to the thought that Jesus is the Son of God. Go to John 3:16. The gospel verse. No. Yes. Don't look at me because I can't read your mind. John 3:16, For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Go back to where Peter said, Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, Upon this rock I will build my church. It wasn't a rock. It wasn't Peter. It was Peter's testimony verifying that Jesus is the Son of God. It was believing who he was at this point. We'll get later into our believing in what he did. I found something very interesting in John chapter 6. Turn to John chapter 6. All through Scripture so far, everything to deal with man's situation called sin, their evil heart, to deal with that, there was a work and a faith involved. Okay, turn to John chapter 6, verse 28. Then said they unto him, What shall we do? This is the disciples, I believe, talking to Jesus. Yeah. Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. I thought that was rather interesting. Okay. Now, let's go to the good stuff. Turn to Acts 9. Now we're switching pages back to what we are again. This is a splitting point in another dispensation. Verse 1, And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. You know, when I think of Paul doing this, I think of him as an extremely zealous guy. He was out there to get it done. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what would thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Okay, keep that thought. Let's go find out what kind of guy Paul was. Let's go to Timothy. I think it's 1 Timothy. Let me check. Yeah, 1 Timothy, chapter 1. Verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. That's what's going on in Acts chapter 9. Now this is who the dude was. Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor, injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Pretty wicked dude. Okay, let me double check why I'm going back to Matthew, but I want to check something out. Oh, I know why. We saw Paul was a blasphemer. He said, I was a blasphemer in that verse. Did it not say that? Okay. Something changed. Let's go back to Matthew 12. Matthew 12, 31. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, shall not be forgiven unto men. I had a guy tell me, doesn't say anything there about Paul blaspheming the Holy Ghost. Let's check that out. Let's go to, I think it's Acts chapter 7. Yeah. Paul was here in Acts chapter 7, verse 54. Or let's go back to 51. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do you. Here we go, a bunch of father followers. Which of the prophets have not your fathers have not your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them which showed before the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels, and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, this is Stephen's issue here, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of the Lord, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord, and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. So, Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, Paul consented to his death, blasphemed the Holy Ghost. Now let's see what Paul says we are. Go to Romans chapter 3. Romans 3. Verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have both proved before Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Does it say some are good? Mm-mm. Verse 23. It doesn't say some here either. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Okay, let's go to verse 20. Therefore, now remember, the law was in place to take care of the sin issue. And instilled in that law was sacrifices. Now, we got a problem. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Okay, what used to work does no longer work. So there's a change. Oh no, it's just one big story in the whole Bible. Not really. Turn to Galatians chapter 2. In every one of these, to take care of it, take note that it required faith also. In every dispensation, there was a faith involved. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we had believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Okay, what faith? Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5. Verse 19. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. If the people in the Old Testament, if their sins weren't imputed, they wouldn't have had to sacrifice, right? But they had to. Evidently, their sins were imputed to them. We today got a good deal. Verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Now this is what happened. Remember, all through Scripture, we've seen how sin was the issue. Here's how it was taken care of. For he hath made him, which is Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Okay? Let's do something. Turn to 1 John. This is a bonus. Let's see if I can find what I want. Yeah, verse 9. 1 John 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't there just a tiny problem with that? Claiming that for us today? After we read a verse that says that Christ became that sin and then God in turn gave us his righteousness. So now, if you go to 1 John and somebody tries to read you that and claim for it today, there's a problem. What righteousness is he talking about? If I have the right unrighteousness, I mean in 1 John, what unrighteousness is he talking about? Because I have been given God's righteousness. I just heard that this weekend. Yeah. Must live above sin. Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You know, it just makes me sad when there's so many questions I would like to ask people. But first of all, they must kind of be willing to hear. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. Okay. In the first sections we went through, how was sin kind of known? That, but how did you know somebody sinned? It was a visual thing, right? Most of the sins was something pertaining to works, something you've seen, a physical something.
They weren't maybe necessarily always something you could see, but like you could see something.
Yeah, okay. Hold that thought. Let's read a couple verses in here. A lot of it, yeah. Verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Verse 16. Wherefore, henceforth, and the word henceforth means from this point forward, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Okay, follow that thought and go to Ephesians 2. I'm about to wrap this up. Ephesians 2, these are the first verses that after I got saved, I made sure, dead sure, that I knew them by memory. Verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. If you look at the sin taken care of issue, they had to do something of themselves. Today, grace is nothing about ourselves. It's everything of that faith in Romans, Galatians 2:16. In Galatians 2:16, it talked about the faith of Christ. This is what Ephesians 2:8-9 says, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's by grace. And that came through the faith of Christ. Ephesians chapter 1. And another thing where I could have went into that I didn't, along with that sacrifice stuff, it was a cover, and it also was maybe saved. It never was this. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. There is nowhere else that anything sealed them. And people want to go back. They want to follow Jesus. They want to go back and do all those things that nobody has ever been able to do and claim that for their salvation. Okay? Another verse, I just thought about it. In Colossians. Remember that the law was what took care of it? Man, if I can find it. And there's nowhere else in any of those that told the people these strong little three-letter words. Verse 9. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete. That is certainty. Which is the head of all principality and power, in whom ye also are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with Him in baptism, wherein ye also are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised Him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. And here goes the law, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. That's it. It's His cross. So many people got their crosses they're carrying. Jeez.
Verse 20, wherefore if ye be dead with Christ in the rudiments of this world, why is that living in the world are such a torment?
I tell you, it's beautiful stuff. Yeah, it is. But look at what causes that blindness. It's their persistence in doing what their father did. I mean,
which goes back to the imagination of the heart.
Yeah.
They think they're fake Israelites or something.
Yeah.
Their father Abraham, which was a
father. And I think that was just a touchdown.
Father is coming.
So far, you want your feet on the